Bible study time, and y'all don't act like you're so shocked when I said I feel like when I used to preach at the chain gang, that's some of my best memories. I had a captive audience, man, I'm telling you. They loved to come out there and hear my preaching after what they heard over there in the jail cell. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 12. Amen. Now churches have all kind of Sundays. They have Cowboy Sunday and Hippie Sunday, and they have a Police Sunday and Military Sunday. What happened to Chain Gang Sunday? Y'all could wear your old clothes. Some of you didn't catch on. Amen, amen. All right, Mark chapter 12, if you have your Bible. Mark chapter 12, very familiar passage of Scripture. I started last week on teaching on the scriptural solutions to our problems. Last week I preached myself about anxiety, and it helped some. I'm not near as anxious as I was, but anxiety is an ongoing problem. And as we go through life, when you're younger, you don't have any problems. Did you notice that when you were younger? You didn't worry about anything. You didn't see anything wrong, man. You just was having a good time. But as you get older, things start opening up. You start seeing things you didn't see before and experience things you didn't know were there. And so we develop personality problems and mental problems and emotional problems and all that stuff. Well, the Word of God's what's going to give us peace.
Amen.
That's where you got it on your salvation. And that's where you're going to get it on every other problem. Your problem wasn't that you was nervous. The problem was you was going to hell. You needed a Savior. Amen. And I really believe if more Christians would just get in the book, a lot of these pharmacy companies would go out of business. Amen. 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 It's kind of like that old... Brother Wayne Smith was pastor at Blessed Hope Baptist Church there in New York. It's not there anymore. I was licensed there, ordained there, youth pastor there, bus, children's director, everything else. And right down the road was a place called, Possum Holler or something? Possum Holler, y'all would know. I'm looking at the ones that would know. Yeah, y'all came up with that real quick. Possum Holler was it was a dance hall, and right next to it was a liquor store. And Brother Smith told me one day, he said, went down there and said, Lord, just let him go in there and witness to the man that run the liquor store. So he said he went in there and the same man owned the nightclub. And he said, look here, you need to get saved, quit selling this liquor. You need to close down this nightclub. He said, preacher, if the Baptists would quit doing such a good business here, I could do that. It's true. It's the truth. Amen. It's the truth. And so, but we got all kind of excuses for all kind of things. So we hear a lot about this word. These was two words now. Self-esteem. Self-esteem. And we hear a lot about that. And it's all about feelings. You know, everything's about feelings now. Well, you hurt my feelings. Well, big deal. If you think you ain't never going to get your feelings hurt, you better crawl under a rock somewhere. Amen? You're bullying me. Well, my goodness. You don't even know what a bully is. I had to take a different way home every day from school when I was a little boy. They beat me up for practice. You don't even know what a bully is. Amen? And... but self-esteem. We want everybody to feel good about themselves. And we like to feel good about ourselves. Wouldn't you say amen? I like to feel good about myself. I like a little self-esteem. When I was growing up, and seriously, they called my family, they called us white trash. They really did. Because back then, one out of 10 babies was born, less than that. Less than 10% of babies were born out of wedlock. Well, me and my younger brother were. And we didn't have a father. Didn't even have a man in the house. And my mom worked in the cotton mill. And we had a pretty rough family. And we didn't get a lot of pat on the back. You know, we didn't get a lot of self-esteem and building up and all that. So we've all struggled with it at one time or another. As a woman, when you was younger, you probably thought you was too skinny or too fat, or your hair was the wrong color, your eyes was the wrong color. You've been watching too many TV advertisements. That was your problem. And as a man, you probably thought growing up, I was the guy that when they picked to play football out in the field, I was the one that got last. Nobody else wanted him, you know. And we all had those problems. Too skinny, too fat, you know, somebody makes fun of you. And so we all have those problems. Kids now have them. It's not something that just happened. But self-esteem, what do you feel about yourself? Everybody wants to have self-esteem. We want our children to feel good about themselves, don't we? We want our grandchildren to feel good about themselves. I know I do. I want them to grow up not feeling like I did. I want them to grow up feeling good about themselves. And not unscripturally. We'll get more to that in a minute. So how in the world are we going to have self-esteem in a wicked, fallen, sin-cursed world where everybody hates everybody and everybody makes fun of everybody and everybody picks on everybody and it's just a fact of life. Amen? So, if you look at Mark 12, look at verse 30 and 31. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, people talk about the Ten Commandments, breaking them. I can't get past the first one. If you was honest, you'd have to say the same thing. So don't go pointing your finger at somebody else where they missed number five when you ain't got past number one yet. Amen? But then he said in verse 31, and the second is like. In other words, it's similar to the first. Namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. That's funny how we pick out things were wrong with people, you know. We'll say, well, he's a dirty, rotten sinner, she's a dirty, rotten sinner because they do this or they do that, you know, or they look like this, they look like that. But we really can't get those first two that Jesus named. I can't. I'm being honest with you. I try my best and I fail at it all the time. But I found this out, that it will help our self-esteem if we'll do this. Yes. And I'm fixing to show you how. If we'll do this, what he just commanded, loving God and then loving others just like that, it will help us love ourselves more. Now you say, well, preacher, we're not supposed to love ourselves. I'm fixing to show you wrong. You are supposed to love yourself. Matter of fact, when he talks about a man loving his wife, says that he doesn't hurt his own flesh. Why would he hurt his wife's flesh? But here it is. There's a part of our nature, our human Adamic nature, what we inherited from Adam. Now, that nature deserves nothing less than condemnation and crucifixion. Now, that part of us does not deserve self-esteem. It does not. Because if you get too much self-esteem in that area and you're still lost and going to hell, you'll never get saved. You've got to see yourself for what you really are. A sin-cursed sinner. Amen? So what we need to do, we first have to learn how to crucify ourselves. Jesus said we have to do that. Why do you think he said take up your cross daily and follow me? Your cross is not alcohol, it's not marijuana, it's not homosexuality. Your cross is your Adamic nature. And you've got to kill that thing every day and carry it around with you. Every day you got to kill it. You got to crucify it every day. And you got to say, oh boy, you died March the 5th, 1978, when Ronnie walked down that aisle and he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. You lost. You're done. That's it. Because this thing here, it doesn't want self-esteem, it wants pride. That's all it wants. It wants to be proud of itself, see. So, that part, we can't do anything with it except crucify it. Over and over and over. We have to crucify it every day. Say amen right there, aren't you, Baptist? Amen, amen. Now, thank God, though, that He made a provision for us in Jesus Christ. He made provision for us in Jesus Christ that we can live victorious over the flesh and the world and death and hell and the grave. We can be victorious over that. Now, I don't know about you, but I get tired of people standing up telling, that's two extremes on this. I get tired of people standing up, belittling themselves all the time, thinking that's a sign of great spirituality. It's not. Well, you know, I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace, I can't help myself, you know. No. You're glorifying the sinner part when you do that. So you don't do that anymore. Thank God I was a sinner, but He saved me. Now I'm a saint. But I have to crucify my flesh every day. And I don't glory in the flesh. I don't glory in the flesh. Jesus Christ took my flesh on the cross that day and crucified it. I was crucified with Him, the Bible says. Galatians says we were crucified with Him. When He died that day, you died that day. When you accepted Christ, that's when you accepted what He'd already done. Now, in my flesh dwells no good thing. I believe that. I understand that. But I'm not going to glory on that. That's what lost sinners do. They glory on their depravity. They glory on their how great a sinner they are. We shouldn't do that. No. No, don't you give that old flesh. No. And then on the other extreme is that pride. We glory in how great a saint we are. Well, thank God, I used to drink a gallon of liquor a day and beat my wife and I wouldn't work, wouldn't pay my bills, but I got saved, thank God, hallelujah, amen. Well, you just glorified your flesh and your old pride came out, what happened. What you ought to do is say, thank God, I'm not what I used to be, and also thank God, though, I'm not what I'm going to be. Yes. Amen? Now, so I'm not talking about a self-esteem class where you go somewhere and you sit down and some guy or gal convinces you by a motivational speech that you're somebody. Outside of Christ, you're nobody. That's right. Always remember that. Outside of Christ, we're nobody. We're lost, we're doomed, we're damned, and without hope in this present world. Amen? Or the world to come. We got nothing to be proud of. Sometimes I hear people brag on quit drinking or quit drugging or quit, loose living, all this stuff. They'll get up and brag on it in some testimony. And I want to say, you just glorifying the devil. That's all you're doing. You need to sit down and shut up. Because except by the grace of God, you'd still be there. Don't you glorify this thing. Well, I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. You can't, that's even impossible. If you did that, you'd fall over backwards. Grab your bootstraps and start standing up. She ain't very smart. No, sir. It's just the grace of God you're standing. So don't you glory in that flesh. You say, well, I used to do this, I don't do it anymore. Well, that's not you, but Christ in you, the hope of glory that did that. Now, you crucify the flesh every day. You say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Here I am. I ain't much, but whatever you can do with this, here it is. That's crucifying the flesh, see. But the moment you start trying to take over and be somebody is the moment you're going to fall. Take heed, lest thou fall. Because outside of Christ, we have nothing to have any self-esteem about. Amen. We carry this. This thing's doomed, man. We're carrying around a dead body. If you don't believe it's dying every day, don't take a bath for about 3 days. You'll find out how quick that thing's dying. It's decaying, amen? And I don't care how much Max Factor or Maybelline or Avon you put on it, it still stinketh. Amen? Now, but there's a part of our human nature that we want to glorify ourselves, but we deserve nothing less than condemnation and crucifixion, and He took it in our place. But I had to write this down. It was so good I didn't want to forget. I was sitting on my deck and this came to me. While that death of Christ ends the condemnation, that same death can liberate our new creature. See, we're not just killing our old creature. When we get the old out of the way, then the new one can rise up. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. All things have done what? And all things are what? Help me, class. It's Wednesday night Bible study. Help me. Hey, look, so while you're crucifying that old man, God can resurrect a new person. Somebody you can have some trust in. Somebody you can look forward to living with. Amen? Somebody that can accomplish good things and great things. Amen?
Amen.
And so the new identity is in Christ. So here's what we need to realize. Look at Mark 12:31 again. In verse 31, he says, and second, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy what?
Self.
Now, wait a minute. I'm supposed to love self? Sure I am. The new self.
Amen.
By putting down the old self, I can raise up that new creature because the new creature deserves self-esteem. Now, I was white trash, but now I'm a child of God.
Yes.
I'm a child of the King. I'm royalty, man. In Christ, I am royalty. Now, that doesn't mean I'm any better than anybody else. It just means that in Christ, I can be happy with that. I don't have to beat myself up every day and say, well, you ain't no good, you ain't nobody. Well, this is not, but he is. See? And see, he says, you love your neighbor as your what, class?
Self.
Then he's telling you you're supposed to love yourself.
Yes.
If you don't love yourself, you won't take care of yourself. And if you don't love yourself, how can you take care of anybody else? If you don't love yourself, if you don't have enough self-esteem to say, I am somebody. In Christ, I'm somebody. And you call me whatever you want to. White trash, black trash, red, brown, yellow, polka dot. I don't care. In Christ, I am somebody. I'm a child of the King. I'm going to inherit everything He owns. And I'm going to rule the world with Him. Go ahead and talk about me all you want to. But I know what He says. What was that old song we used to sing? You can talk about me as much as you please because I talk about you down on my knees. Amen. Amen. So, I've got a new identity when I got saved. Here's what's pitiful. People get saved and they never recognize the new person. People get born again and their old flesh gets crucified. But instead of putting on the new man and walking in the newness of life, they crucifying themselves all the time, putting themselves down, belittling themselves. And when God's not doing that anymore, God looks at us now, He says, hey, Brother Fortson, that's my child. He tells the devil, he said, you leave him alone. The old devil says, if you take that hedge away from him, he cuts to your face. He said, yeah, but I got a hedge around him. You don't get to him unless I let you. That's my child. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm not just a poor old sinner saved by the grace of God. Yes, I'm a poor old sinner saved by the grace of God, but now I'm an adopted child of the King. Now that doesn't make me proud of me. It makes me proud of Him. It doesn't make me proud of what I did. It makes me proud of what He does. It doesn't make me feel that great about myself. It makes me feel great about Him. And then, on top of that, it makes me love others because He first loved me, so I love others. But I can't love others if I don't love me. A lot of people, I believe they're saved and they're going to heaven. But they don't love their neighbor as they love themselves, as He says, as yourself, because they don't love themselves. And they're still trapped in that Adamic nature that's killing them every day, and they don't have the victory that overcometh the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Here's the order. It's not self-elevation, and it's not mutilation. That's what Christians do. Some elevate themselves, and others mutilate themselves by always putting themselves down and talking about the old man. Here's the order. God first, others second, self last. But wait a minute. Don't forget self is included. God first, others next, and then self. And a lot of Christians think they're very pious and they're very separated and they're very godly because they leave self off. I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm not talking about the fleshly desires. I'm talking about the new man, the new spiritual person.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't love you, how are you going to love somebody enough to witness to them? I love the creature that God's created in me.
Amen. Yeah.
You wouldn't have liked the old one. I didn't even like him. Amen?
Amen.
I like this guy. I take care of him. I bathe him. I brush his teeth. I almost got all of them. Before I got saved, I didn't brush my teeth. I lost two. I comb his hair. I dress him pretty. I'm sorry if you're from Michigan. I dress him handsomely. I like this guy. And since I've been saved, Brother Dan, this guy's been good to me. The old guy wasn't no good to me. I hated his guts. Almost killed him on more than one occasion. But thank God, God's made me a new creature, somebody I can love, and because now that I'm satisfied with this, I can help other people.
Amen.
If you're so busy being dissatisfied with yourself, how are you going to help anybody else? And I'm sorry, I'm not recovering anything. Thank God I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm washed in the blood. I'm on my way to heaven. Look, and it ain't got nothing to do with me. It's all about Him and the one that He put in me. See?
Amen.
I don't have the strength to do anything. I wouldn't even like me anymore. I like this guy. And because I like this guy, I like you. And the reason I like you is because God loves you. So I love you. How can I hate you if God loves you? And how can you hate me if God loves me? Since I've been saved, I've been done wrong.
Yep.
You think the devil don't jump on this old boy?
Yes.
I've been praying for about 3 or 4 weeks now. Lord, things are going so good down there at the church. I know the devil's trying to stir up something somewhere.
Yeah,
I know he is. I got a little hint of it. But I'll tell you this. I don't hate him. I don't hate anybody. I love everybody enough to get them to heaven.
Amen.
Now, some people I don't want to go to church with them.
Right.
Ain't because I don't love them. It's just because I know them and I will be better off if we ain't in the same room at the same time. I love them. If I saw them on the side road, I'd give them a ride. Hey, if they was hurting, I'd help them. But some people just, he said, be at peace with all men if at all possible. And it ain't always possible. But I don't hate them. I love them. And the reason I can love them is because I can see me in them the way I used to be. So I love me. That makes me love them. Because He loved both of us. Now, is this too complicated for you too? Okay, I know somebody from Chester gets kind of hard. Here's four simple things I found. Mark 12:30, if we're going to have some self-esteem, it demands love. Demands it. Look at verse 30 again. And thou shalt love. Stop right there. No matter what he says after that, there's a command right there. Thou shalt love. Now we know he says the Lord God, and then we know he says that we love others, our neighbor, but it's a command, thou shalt love. First, you got to know what love is. And look, when I was young, we didn't know what love was. Young, Isn't it strange that young people write songs about love, but they're the ones that have no idea what love really is? They usually mean affection or physical contact. But in order to have self-esteem, he demands us to have love. But then I got to know what that love means. Well, that love means that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. Now, that's a given love. He didn't ask for nothing. He just said, I love you so much, Ron Ronnie, I'm going to give my son to die in your place. That's love. What greater love hath any man than this? Then he would lay down his life for his friend. That's love. Amen? Yeah. Love is being willing to give without receiving. He adopted me. That's love. To go take somebody else's youngin' and adopt them. That's love. Amen? That's got to be love. Brother Danny, my hat's off to you. That's love. Amen? And to give your life for somebody you don't even know. That's what adoption is, to give. You're not taking their life, you're giving them your life. Because you're the one that's going to have to raise them. You're the one that's going to have to take care of them. And you're going to have to love them to do that.
Amen.
You got to understand what love is. It ain't this little mealy mouth, I love you if you love me back. No. It ain't that little letter you passed that little boy that said, I like you. Do you like me? Check yes or no. That ain't love. Love is willing to live for somebody as well as die for somebody.
Amen.
You ever heard anybody say this? I'll die for the Lord. And they don't even go to church. They won't live for him. I doubt they'd die for him. Some people say, well, I love my family. But they wouldn't die for him. They wouldn't do that. I love my country. But they never would. You really don't love somebody until you're willing to die for them. Now, once you understand what love is, then you see that God demands love. So in order to have love, then look at verse 30 again. He says, with all thy heart. That's the seed of compassion right there, the heart, the inner man. He said that we're to love God with all our heart. Now, that's a real all. Well, I love you. Do you love me? No. I love you. I'll die for you. I'll live for you. I'll give for you. I'll do whatever I got to do. But I love you, and you can't run me off. These people that claim they love each other, and then they're together a year, and then one of them's gone. Somebody didn't love somebody. By the way, they wasn't that big a prize either, the one that stayed. Amen. That Adamic nature, wanting self-esteem, wanting somebody to pat them on the back, wanting somebody to tell them how great they are. No, sir. If you love me, you don't have to tell me how great I am. I'll love you back. Now, we love him with that kind of love. And you know what that causes us to do? That causes us to appreciate the life that God gave us.
Amen.
Because he loved me so much, that makes me appreciate. It gives me more self-esteem because I realize, Brother Dan, he loved me that much. I must be something. I must be a jewel. I must be a pearl of great price. I must be something of value or God wouldn't love me like that. And then whenever you learn how intense he loves you, how much he really loves you, you know, and it causes you to appreciate your life.
Right.
You wonder why a lot of people don't have what they call self-esteem. They don't appreciate what they got.
Right.
They don't appreciate the life that God's given them. They don't appreciate the parents they have. They don't appreciate the people that say they love them. They don't appreciate the love of God. So therefore, they feel bad all the time because they're always lacking, thinking nobody loves me. So then they don't love anybody. And they don't even love themselves. Don't tell me you love yourself. If you hate everybody else, it's a good sign you don't love yourself. And then I thought about this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm almost through. You don't have to be so nervous. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 10. I love you. You love me?
Amen.
I'm going to get Brother Bobby Brindle back. I like it when he hides behind the plants on the stage. And he looks out and he says, you still love me, don't you? Look at Ephesians 2:10. That in the dispensation, I'm sorry, that's chapter 1. Verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, if we're going to have self-esteem, we need to have the ability to make good judgments. To walk in them. That's what he's talking about, the way you live, the way you walk. We've got to, if we're going to feel good about ourselves, we've got to feel good about our ability to make good judgments in this life. Look at Hebrews 12:2. Most of you already know this verse, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had to make a conscious, good choice. He had to have the ability to go to the cross, seeing what was coming after the cross.
Yes. Yes.
And we have to have that ability too. Now look at John 4. John 4, verse 34. In John chapter 4, verse 34, these are familiar. Most of you already know them. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, or what feeds me, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, if you're going to have some self-esteem about yourself, one of the ways you're going to have it is you're going to have to be able to make good, godly, spiritual choices and judgments. Because if you don't, you'll continually make bad ones and you'll feel bad about yourself because you can't make good, godly choices. You've got to have the ability to make good choices. In other words, in order to feel good about yourself, you got to feel good about what you're doing.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Well, we don't go by feelings, preacher. We're not saved by feelings. We're saved by faith. But we have a lot of feelings.
Yes.
And feelings drive us most of the time. Well, I don't feel good today. I ain't going to church. Well, I thought you'd live by faith. Well, I just don't feel like she loves me. I thought you'd live by faith. We go by feelings. We go every day by feelings. And if you don't feel good about the choices you make, then you're not going to feel good about yourself.
Come on.
How many women have lost every bit of their self-esteem because they married some bum because they made a wrong choice and now they think they can't make good choices anymore? Amen. It could even be the same way a man with a woman. Maybe he chose the wrong wife. He didn't look at the future. He didn't make a good godly choice or judgment. And now he lives with that woman, but he's defeated and he doesn't feel like he can make good choices. What about teenagers? Amen. Got in trouble at school because you made a dumb choice and now you're scared to make any choices, so you don't feel good about yourself because you think, well, what's the use? I can't make good choices. I can't live for God because every time I try, I mess up. But what we've got to do, see, we've got to feel good about ourselves, okay? And we all, God wants us to feel good about ourselves.
Yes, he does.
That's what the joy of the Lord is for. It's our strength. He gives us that to help us. Our feelings. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Nothing wrong with feelings, just as long as they're the right feelings.
Yes.
We're not driven by feelings. But feelings of self-worth will help you to be a better Christian. Have you ever noticed, and I'm really through, I'm just meddling, okay? Meddling, that means minding your business. All right? Have you ever noticed how many people make professions of faith and you never see them again? Because as soon as they left the church, if that's where they made that profession, their feelings took over. And because they'd been beat down by themselves and everybody else and the devil all their life, as soon as they left the church, their feelings said this: you made a fool out of yourself today. I wouldn't go back down there if I was you. They might even go home and their spouse or somebody, their parents, whoever, might look at them and say, that was stupid. That wasn't real. You just made a fool out of yourself. And they might have really got saved. You understand what I'm saying? Or for years a person's been saved and they had all the fruits of the Spirit, and then all of a sudden something happened that defeated them, and the old devil jumped on and said, hey, I'm going to shout this from the rooftop. I'm going to destroy you. Your testimony's gone. Your friends are gone. Everything's gone. You ain't no Christian. You're not even a good human being. And that person just give up and quit on God and quit going to church and quit and never recover because of their feelings. Well, we make bad choices, don't we?
Yes.
And we get beat up for it, don't we? We beat ourselves up for it, don't we? And all those so-called friends do too, don't they? You ever heard misery loves company? But I want you to know, it's a loving God, us, it's loving God, and then loving our neighbor, and then we love ourselves, and then we'll realize what divine love is instead of fleshly carnal love. See, God's going to love you no matter what. And I'm not saying be eat up with pride. I'm not saying have carnal feelings. But I'm saying love yourself. And usually the way you'll love yourself is by loving others. You know, Brother Ron, I can't go to the nursing home down there and not leave thanking God for how good He's been to me. And I go down there to love them. They don't. I've been to see people dying with cancer, expecting them to be sitting there having a pity party, and go in there, and by the time I come out, they cheered me up.
Amen.
And because I love them, I got to love myself more that day. And I felt good about it. Sister Rachel, there ain't nothing wrong with feeling good about singing a good song for the Lord and people liking that song. Tom, I know you're working on preaching down there. There ain't nothing wrong with preaching and missing a verse or saying something. Later on, the old devil beats on your door and says, you was wrong. You shouldn't have said that. God's going to love you anyway. And your friends are going to love you anyway. You know, we used to sing that song, Love Lifted Me. That's self-esteem.
Yes.
Love lifted. Now, I'm not talking about that psychology junk. Well, I was born this way and I love it. No, you was born that way. You need to get saved and then you'll love yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We was all born that way. But look, what we need a healthy, happy personality that makes us a blessing to other people and that will please God.
Amen.
There's no other worse testimony than some old sour-faced, mean, hard-hearted Christian.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Amen. There's no other. There's no worse testimony than that. But you know, if we'll love what God's doing in us and we love others and we try and be a blessing to them, you know what's going to happen? God's going to bless us.
Amen.
I used to go to church lost before I was saved. I didn't do it about five or six times. And you know, Brother Taylor, I walked out feeling better about myself. Not because I got saved, because I didn't those times. I just felt better about myself being around those people.
Amen.
Now, I didn't think I was worthy to be around them. I'd carry my babies so I wouldn't have to shake hands. But I'd leave church and something in me would say, You did a good thing today. You can be proud of that. And I felt better about it. So as a child of God, the day we live in, mental, emotional, psychological, all these abnormal personalities, these people walk in and they shoot people in the synagogue and they shoot people in the church and they burn things and they hurt people and all that. Those are unbalanced people who really do not have any self-esteem. They have no love for themselves, and so therefore they can't love anybody else. We need some balanced people that have a biblical view of self-esteem. You see, you can come to this church and be a church member. You can be saved and be a church member. But you can't be a real good church member until you love God, love others, and love yourself. Now, you take any of those three out, you're not going to be a good church member. You're not even going to be a good Christian. Love God, love others, and you will love yourself. God loves you. He don't only love you, but He loves the guy sitting beside you. And the one down there you don't like, He loves them too. So why don't we love them? I'm not saying okay their sin. I'm not saying fellowship with them. I'm not saying walk with them or get entangled with them. I'm just saying look at them one day and say, you know God loves you. And when they say, well, say, do you know what? Not only that, God loves you, but I love you too because He loves you. Amen. And you know what you'll do when you come out there? You'll think, I did something good today. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for love.